Hey, bro, you checked the Sooners game the other day?
Yeah.
America's team.
I didn't know you were a Sooners fan.
I'm a huge Sooners fan. Man, Easton the other day was causing some problems, wanted to punt him.
Bro,
you don't even have any kids for one, and Easton's my son, and I say that about him sometimes. I want to punt him.
Yeah, I think he's got some, like, unidentified lip fungus thing.
Which is one of my jokes.
Yeah.
So, now you're doing my handshake. Why don't you,
cool sandals.
Thanks.
Yeah,
I've never seen you wear sandals before.
I wear them a lot. I don't care that I have ugly feet.
You're saying that about my feet now. Is that what you're saying? And be yourself.
People, be yourself.
I'm everyone I want to be.
Shut up,
Bodie.
Now, we don't just show you those videos just to be goofy and to mess around. We show you just to remind you. And can we bring up the house lights a little bit so I can see everybody? We show you those to remind you just how foolish and how stupid you look when you try to be like someone else. And so everyone knows that, like, okay, trying to imitate someone else or be like someone else is stupid and you'll look like a fool if you do that. But it's really hard to actually not do that. Because I know the feeling, and I know everyone has it, and we talked about this last week. It's so easy to look around you and feel like everyone around you is better looking, or stronger, or smarter, or more charming, or they have something that you want to have. And it's hard not to look around you and to go, well, how can I be happy with plain old me when everyone else seems so fabulous and they've got it together? They've got the cool hair, I've got the bad hair, they're so skinny, and I can never seem to get that skinny. Whatever it is, it's easy to look around you and want to be like someone else. But we all know that it's foolish to try to be someone else. And so we're kind of stuck in this cycle, and we're going to kind of talk through this, how to find your own identity and how you can really be everyone that you want to be, and it be yourself. And so you can kind of find how you are already everyone you want to be. And so we're going to talk about three things these next 3 weeks, and I'm going to make this big generalization. You've got to kind of give me the freedom to do that. But I think that everyone in this room, everyone in this world really wants three things. And so let's just click through those real quick. I'm going to put them up on the screen. Everyone wants this. Everyone wants attention. Now, you might not want to, you know, have crazy amounts of attention and to be in the spotlight or all that, but everyone wants to be recognized, right? Everyone wants to be noticed, okay? You want your parents to acknowledge you when you come in the house and not just ignore you all day. You want friends to care about you enough to call you to see what you're doing. You want someone to talk to you when you walk into this room here and you don't know anybody and you're out there in the lobby and everyone seems to be having fun but you. You want some attention. Everyone wants it. And everyone wants friendship. You know, everybody wants like a true friend. They want companionship. They don't have to have the most friends in the world, but everyone kind of needs to have that security of like that best friend. And I think everyone wants friendship. And then also everyone wants purpose. They want something to do with their life. They want, you know, to make a difference, to count, to have a reason to be alive. All right, you don't want to just kind of drift through with no reason or purpose. And, you know, this week we're going to focus on attention. The next week we're going to talk about friendship. We're going to talk about purpose. But if you think about it, if you look at people that have really good friendships or people that, you know, get attention and recognition and they're noticed or people that seem to really know what they're doing with their life, you want to be like them. Those are attractive qualities. And I want you to be able to find those for yourself so that you are everyone you want to be. I want to pray before we get started this morning. Would you bow your heads? God, I pray that every student in this room, by the end of the day, by the end of next week, by the end of the third week that we do this, I pray that they would be just content and satisfied and secure and confident in exactly who you created them to be. And they would be so rooted in that that they would never again turn to try to find their identity in something other than you, but they would find it in everything that you've given them. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody know who this band is that's going to be up on the screen? You put a picture of that first one up. Anybody know who that is? Their name's at the top if you look on the left. Any leaders know who that is? Yeah. All right. This group was like the most popular group when I was your age. Okay? And there's another group. Throw up the other album cover. This was like the second most popular group was Criss Cross. Have you guys heard of Criss Cross? Anybody? All right, you got Boys to Men, and you got Criss Cross. Boys to Men, They were like a boy band before boy bands were boy band. They were the original, all right? So all those stupid boy bands that were here a few years back that made millions of dollars, they got their start watching Boys to Men. And Criss Cross, they were nothing before nothing was nothing. They were like a one-hit wonder, but they were awesome when I was in junior high. And I want to just show you a little bit about, you can see how Criss Cross dresses. They got their clothes backwards because they're totally crossed out. That was the name of their album, and they said that a lot in their songs, totally crossed out. They were these two little kid rappers that were my age, and so they were awesome. And then Boyz II Men were like older, and they were really cool. But I wanted to show you, go back to Boyz II Men, look at how they dress. Okay, they've got on little bow ties and sweaters, and what you don't see is that they usually wear like jean shorts with it, and they have all these caps on. Let me show you just a short clip of the Boyz II Men music video so you can see all their cool outfits. Check these out.
Yo, fellas, y'all ready to do this?
Yeah, yo, what's up, guys?
Yeah.
Boyz II Men in effect.
Yeah.
And it's about time.
Yo, let's rip this up.
Boyz II Men. Boyz II Men.
That's my favorite outfit right there. Do but now Philly slamming. Yeah, I love this song. That was like the most popular. And then this, show the Criss Cross thing. This is like the second most popular. I love this. All right, you can pause that one. Here's what I love about Criss Cross. Their little dance, it's the, I call it I Need to Pee dance. It's where you just do your legs like this. And it's like the easiest dance to do. So anytime that song would come on at a school dance, I'd be like, yeah, do I have to pee or am I dancing? And it was like so fun. But Criss Cross and Boyz II Men were like the coolest. And here's what me and my friends did when we were your age. And I don't think anybody does this anymore because maybe you guys are just a little bit more mature than I was. But I would call up my friends on Thursday night because Friday was like the fun day at school. And I'd be like, hey, you want to dress like Boyz II Men today? Be like, yeah, let's dress like Boyz II Men tomorrow. And so we would wear, literally, we would go to the store, we picked out, we had matching button-up shirts, matching ties, matching sport coats, and then baggy jean shorts, and we would go to school dressed up like Boyz II Men, all right? And then some weeks, we would call each other, you want to dress like Criss Cross today? Oh, yeah. And we would wear baseball jerseys backwards, jean shorts backwards. That's tough if you need to go to the bathroom, boys. We would wear, you know, the baggy clothes, our hats backwards. We would dress up just like Criss Cross and Boyz II Men. And the reason why we did it was, one, because we thought the bands were cool. But also, whenever we did that, when you'd see four guys walking down the hall with a tie and a sport coat and jean shorts, you would notice them. They would get your attention. When you saw a guy sitting in your class with a baseball jersey on backwards and his jean shorts on backwards, you would notice him. And I got lots of attention in junior high because we would dress up different like that as often as we could, and we'd all do it together. And we began to be known as the funny guys because people thought it was funny when we did that. They didn't think we were stupid. They thought we were cool, and we were funny. And so I began to get this reputation for being the funny guy that would do, you know, stunts and goofy things like that. I ended up, because I was known as the funny guy, I got the lead in the school play when I was in seventh grade, and I don't have a picture, but some of you have seen it before. I played a woman. I was an English chambermaid, and I had an English accent. I wore a, how do you say, brassiere on, I wore it stuffed with socks so I could look like a woman, and everybody thought I was so funny. And because I was so funny, I got elected student body president of my eighth grade class because everybody noticed me and I had their attention. But here's what happened. I became the clown in my school and everybody knew me as like the funny guy. And when I got a little bit older and I started to take my faith in Christ really seriously and I started to think that maybe I could be used by God to make a difference in people's lives, when I started to want to be taken seriously about some things, I still like to have fun, but I wanted to be taken seriously. All of a sudden, I realized people wouldn't take me seriously. They wouldn't. They just thought I was a goof. And what had happened was where I went for attention eventually controlled who I became. Do you guys see how that happened to me? Where I went to get attention controlled how people perceived me and made me into something that was just this little box of a person, and it took me a long time to break out of it. It took me until halfway through college to break out of it. I had to transfer college to get away from the people in my high school that went to the college I went to in Oklahoma. I had to transfer to Texas A&M just to break out of that mold of what people thought about me. Yeah, I went to Oklahoma State for a year and a half. Any go Pokes? No. And then I went to Texas A&M. There you go. Okay, thank you. But I had to break out of that mold, and that mold had me trapped. And here's what I want to tell you guys, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, is that you may be at a place where what's happening is wherever you're getting attention right now, whether it's from parents, whether it's from, if it's girls from other girls, or girls if you're getting attention from guys, or guys if you're getting attention from guys, or if you're getting attention from girls, wherever you're getting attention right now, it's controlling what you are becoming. So let me just make this blanket statement. I want everybody to remember this, so I'm going to put it up on the screen so you can read it. We all worry and work for attention in one way or another because we all want attention. We all worry and work for the attention of others. And the attention that we get controls what we become. It just does. And so I want you to think about this morning. Where are you, and leave this up there, Scott, where are you getting attention? And I'm going to give you some things to maybe jog your thinking. I've been working with junior high students for 9 years now. So I've seen a lot of lives and how they've played out over the years. And here's what I've seen in junior high students. Which one is you? I've seen students that really care about the attention that they get from their parents. And then I've seen them become people who are worried, who are stressed out, who are anxious. I've seen students drift into depression because they're trying so hard to please and get the attention and the recognition from their parents. And when they fail, it just sends them into a depression and this deep sadness. And it controls what they become. They become this person that's stressed out and working hard all the time to please their parents. And they become that person. I've seen students that try to get their attention from their peers, and it affects their identity. It's affected the way they dress, the movies they watch, how they spend their time. If they get attention from the wrestling team, all of a sudden they pour everything into the wrestling team and they wrestle 24/7 and they don't ever do anything else with their lives. I've seen students that try to get attention from their peers and it's affected their morals. You know, I've seen girls that are sweet young ladies get some attention from guys and it's changed the way they've dressed. Their collars start getting a little bit lower, showing a little more skin. Their shorts start getting a little bit shorter. And they make decisions in the things that they do in their physical relationship with guys because that's where they get attention. And it changes their morals. It affects who they become. I've seen the same thing happen with guys. I've seen with guys, you know, if they're trying to get attention from the cool guys, you might compromise your morals and decide to go watch a movie that you would never see. But it affects who you become. You start listening to music with parental advisory, explicit lyrics, because that's what the cool folks are listening to. And all of a sudden, where you're getting attention is affecting who you're becoming. I've also seen it affect actually the health of students. I've seen girls develop eating disorders based on the attention that they're getting from other people and trying to get that attention. I've seen students in junior high, because they're not getting the attention that they want in the ways that they want it, resort to hurting themselves in order to get noticed by people. Hurting themselves so that someone will just pay attention to them and notice them. And where they go to get attention affects who they become. Think about it. Where do you like to get attention? And how could that be affecting who you're becoming? And this is a problem because if all of us worrying and working for the attention of others and it's controlling what we become, the problem here is that we're not becoming fully ourselves. We're not becoming exactly who God created us to be. We're becoming what the culture around us is creating us to be. And that's a problem because we all want to be fully ourselves, exactly who we were created and made to be. Now, luckily, I'm not and you're not the first person to face this dilemma of, okay, what am I becoming and what am I being controlled by my attention? There was a guy in the Bible, you guys have heard of a guy named David, right? Most of you guys know the story of David and... Right, okay. Before that, there was a prophet that came to David. Does anybody just know their Bible inside out and know the prophet's name that came to David before Goliath? Samuel. What's your name? Anthony. Way to go, dude. That's awesome. There was this prophet named Samuel, and when David was still a shepherd boy, this prophet came to him, and he anointed him, which means he like poured this oil on his head. It's a really weird tradition they had back then. But this prophet came from God and told David, hey, David, guess what? You're going to be king. Now, Anthony, do you know who was king at that time? Anybody know? Saul, that's right. So there's a dude named Saul that's king. David's a shepherd boy. Samuel, a prophet, comes to David and says, David, you're going to be king. So David's like, okay, dude, I'm going to be king. What's David's next step towards becoming king? Saul calls him, says, I want you to come play harp for me in my court. So all of a sudden, next thing David knows, he's a harp player. And he just got told by a prophet of God he's going to be king. That would stink, right? Does anybody here like to play harp? No. Harp's not fun. King? Fun. Harp? No fun. So he's playing harp, and every once in a while, Saul would get all ticked off at him if he missed a note, and he'd throw a spear at him. Hey, that's cool. And eventually, Saul got so mad at David and hated David so much that David had to end up hiding out in a cave, not just once, but twice. David had to go hide in a secret cave all by himself. And he'd been promised that he was going to become king. Now, think about it. If you're David and you're sitting there watching Saul be king and you're hiding in a cave, you're thinking, that guy is king. Everybody looks to him. Everybody knows him. Everybody follows his orders. He's got all this attention. And I'm hiding in a cave, and I'm supposed to be king. I'm getting spears thrown at me. I'm having to play a stinking harp. And this guy's got everything that I want to be. And so David, you know, or so we aren't the first people to feel like we want something someone else has. David felt the same way. And I want to show you a passage of scripture here that illustrates something that David knew. David knew this, that we don't have to do anything to earn God's attention. And God's attention is what really matters, not the attention of people. So check this out. Go ahead and throw up Psalm 139, 1 through 6. I want you to read this. Okay, this is from the same chapter as the verse we looked at last week. Everybody look at the screen. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before, and you've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Keep that verse up there. Let's just replace the word Lord with Bodhi, all right? What if this was true about Bodhi? Oh, Bodhi, you have searched me and you know me. You know whenever I sit and whenever I rise. Oh, really? That'd be kind of creepy. Bodhi's stalking me. Bodhi, you perceive my thoughts. Bodhi's reading your mind right now. Bodhi, you discern, that means you understand my going out whenever I leave my house or whenever I come in and I lie down on my couch to watch Hannah Montana. Bodhi, you are familiar with all my ways. If I'm a boy watching Hannah Montana, you know it. Bodhi, before I even speak, before a word is on my tongue, you know exactly what I'm going to say, oh Bodhi. Bodhi, you hem me in behind and before, you've laid your hand upon me. That's weird. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Now, I put Bodhi's name in there so you could kind of get a reality check on what this verse is saying. But what this verse is saying is that there is a God that knows everything about you. And you've got more of God's attention than you will ever get. Right now, you've got more of God's attention right where you sit. His full attention is on you. He knows when you sat down. He knows the minute you're going to stand up. He knows what you're thinking. He knows the next word you're going to say when I'm done talking. You've got more of God's attention than you will ever get from any cute guy, any cute girl, any friend, any parent, any teacher, any coach, anybody in the rest of your life. You've got more attention from God than you'll ever get from anyone else. God searches every one of us, and he knows every one of us. Now, some of you are going, God knows everything? He knows everything. And here's the great thing about God's attention. He pays so much attention to you and to me that he knows how messed up we all are. Raise your hand if you're messed up. Thank you. That's all of us. And God knows how messed up we are, and he loves us so much, he doesn't rub that in our faces like some of our friends would, so-called friends. He doesn't keep pushing us and pushing us and pushing us like some of our parents might, or our teachers or our coaches might. What God does is he loves us so much that he knows where we are. He loves us so much to try to bring us to another place, and he helps us. He sent his son Jesus to die for us, his spirit to live in us and to control us and to give us life and to help us as we go. So here's the thing. You remember earlier I said where we go to get attention controls who we become. What if the only attention that mattered to you and that you sought and you cared about was God's attention? What would you become then? What if this year in school you chose to seek God's attention more than you chose to seek the attention of others? And that's my challenge for you guys this morning. When it comes to attention, that you would make a choice and a decision. I want to choose to seek God's attention more than I seek the attention of other people. And here's how you do that. You've got to figure out and identify the ways that the attention of others controls your behavior. You've got to think about every time you sit down, every time you stand up, or every time you speak, you got to remember that God is watching you. And lastly, I would just encourage you to put as much effort into pleasing God as you put into pleasing others. Put as much effort into pleasing God as you put into pleasing others. Some of you guys don't know what pleases God, and you need to find out what pleases the Lord. How many of you guys last week, I actually did what I asked you to do. Last week, I asked you to go home, close your bathroom door, look in that mirror, stare deep into your own eyes until you really saw yourself as like a different. Did anybody do that? Anybody try it? Good. I did it. It was wicked weird. All right? But I looked in that mirror. I looked in that mirror. I kind of leaned up against the counter. I was like, this is weird. But I stared. I took off my glasses so I could really connect with myself. And I just, when I saw myself and I saw who I was sitting there, I said what I asked you to say. And I just prayed a prayer to God. And it was me and me and God. And I said, your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And in that moment, what I got, what I felt, was God's attention. And I felt God looking at me going, that's right, David. I created you a certain way, and I made you, and I knit you together, and I have a plan for you, and I'm with you right now. And I just soaked in the attention of God, and I chose to seek that instead of the attention of anyone else. And what that does for you when you choose to seek the attention of God or the attention of man is where you go to get attention affects what you become. And when you choose to just dwell in the attention of God, you become a more godly person. You become a person that's free from the control of others. You don't have to worry anymore about what anybody else thinks because you know what God thinks. And you don't have to stress or worry or try anymore. And you can just be yourself. And who you are is everyone that you want to be. Let me pray. Dear God, the works that you have done in the lives of these students are wonderful. And I know that is true. But I also know that there are some students out here in this room, maybe one or two, maybe 100, that if they're honest, they're trying to be like someone else. They're trying to get attention from someone. And they're leaving what you created them to be. And they're worrying and they're working for something that you've already given them. And I pray that you would just make your presence and your hand and your attention on each of our lives just real and known to these students. And they would find the freedom and joy that's found in the acceptance that you give them. And I pray for their small groups this week as they get together and discuss these things that you would bring them to light and you would change lives. I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, one more announcement before I send you guys out of here. Right outside, we've got the Pine Cove sign-up sheets. Also, same thing as last week, we're not going to dismiss you until church service lets out. And everybody needs to hear this. Couple things. When you come up here on Sunday mornings, you don't have to check in at those little check-in stations downstairs. You guys are old enough that you can just kind of walk right up, ride the elevator. But when you leave, what the rest of the church has asked us to do is, not when you come, but just when you leave, is to go out and then go to your left past the elevators and go down the stairs, because it was getting really clogged up in the elevators last week. There's so many people. And so we're going to have 6th, 7th, and 8th graders just go down that stairwell. So whenever we dismiss you and it's time to leave or you choose to go, just make sure you use the stairs. That'll free up the elevators for everyone else. All right? Pine Cove signups out there. Don't leave until church is out. All right. Take off. We'll see you guys.
Isn't what you want to hear. You can say